Members of their own squad. As the aging member of the rowing fraternity, I have to be very careful what I say because I might go boring you with a lot of reminiscences, which I do not intend to do. I might have one little one, and that is that the big difference in rowing today with regard to the general public is the lack of newspaper coverage. Newspaper coverage of rowing in the East is getting bigger and bigger. The New York Times on Sundays has every rowing race that's been held, and we get the clippings 8 o'clock Monday morning on the New York Sunday Times. In Seattle, it's getting less and less. I think one of the reasons that the New York Times covers it better, they have, Dick could tell you more than I could, that they do have a coaches meeting with the reporters once a week in New York, a luncheon meeting. That helps to beat the band. The reporters are willing to put stuff in if it's fed to them. They used to do it of their own volition when they were younger. Take George Varnell, bless his heart. He was a tower of strength to Washington rowing in his early days. He had a column or two every night. And it was through his efforts and, of course, his boss, Colonel Bletton, that rowing was much to the fore in Seattle. In fact, it was so much to the fore that it was the premier sport at the university. It got the university world acclaim through their rowing. And at the annual Washington, California race, there'd be 100,000 people out to see it. It engendered that much interest. The newspapers mold public opinion. And without the newspaper coverage, you're a dead duck, practically. I mean that now. To show how anxious they are to print stuff, well, I remember when UCLA first entered the rowing picture, 1933, I think it was. It was at Long Beach, California. There was a race, and there was a reporter there, and he was all anxious to report the race, and the race was on, and here UCLA number 5 caught a crab. And I was right there in the stand. The reporter asked something, "What happened? What happened?" They stopped. He said, "Oh, number 5 caught a crab," and he wrote it down, you know. The following morning in his paper, it said, what stopped the UCLA crew from winning was a crab caught hold of the blade of number 5. and the tenacious crustacean wouldn't let go. Another reporter, to show how anxious they are to please, if they only knew what to write about, if they only knew the glorious thrills of rowing. Of course, they've never been in a boat. It's not a spectator sport, really, I suppose. But anyway, this man, the father of one of the oarsmen, knew a reporter, and he said, "Now, give my son a break and give him a bit of a boost." And so in the report of the race, I forget the man's name, it was so-and-so, who was stroke of the boat, cannot be blamed for losing the race. Because he put in twice as many strokes as anybody else. That must have been some crew. But anyway, The rowing is the fastest growing sport in the country today. It's almost a status thing where rowing is possible, because pretty nearly all the other sports are semi-professional, and this is the only sport, for sport's sake, there is left. An interesting man was in the shop only last week, a Mr. Miller from Michigan State, and he ordered 2.8s for next year, and he told us that within a year or two, all the Big Ten will be rowing. There's six of them rowing now. We get the rowing publications from pretty nearly every school in the country because we, you know, we put our hand down for a little advertisement and so forth. We have to. But this one was from Purdue, and it was the first publication in the fall. And it went on to say how many of the old-timers, the ex-oarsmen, were coming back. And it ended up, and alas, the senior coxswain will return. Alas, the senior coxswain. Of course, it was a mistake. It meant also the senior coxswain. But it was really a typographical error, I suppose. I hope. But anyway, there's a great furore about various styles in rowing. And over my years, I've had 60 years, I'm not proud to say, but I say it, I've seen all styles win races. This business of the rat-stroke crew rowing high strokes, it isn't new. The wide blades are not new. I saw them in 1909. The Belgian crew came over and to Henley. I was up there, I was only a kid. Getting on. They had big blades and they never got under 40. Similar to the Rapsburg crew. Well, Britain had ruled the waves for ever since rowing started. And to have this Belgian crew beat the Leander Club, it was just simply unthinkable. And boy, the newspaper articles, what's happened, what's happened, what's happened? Well, they started copying this high stroke and the wide blades. And the Belgians came the next year with the same crew, and they rubbed it into the British. They all went down with cigars in their mouth. They went down to the boat, and they took the cigars out and put it on the seat, on the slats, you know, and went out rowing. Rubbing it in. We don't even have to train. Well, they won again, the same crew. But the third year, stroke and seven were missing. They never won another race. It isn't big blades that win races, it's the men at the handle end. That's what does it. All styles will win races if it is perfectly executed. The secret of speed in an eight is everybody doing things simultaneously. That's what sets the boat free. I was out coxing a boat last week, and that blessed boat, the tortures it was going. I mean, a boat built a nose. My gosh, how does it stand it? The racking and the horrible timing and, oh my heavens. Well, I thought of then, I thought, well, they have an instrument for checking a rough motor. I wonder why an instrument couldn't be put on an eight. I suppose the convulsions of the eight would knock it out of business because they are there. And if an eight could speak, it would shriek out, let me go free. Get your blades out clean. Everybody doing the same thing at the same time. The least little deviation spoils speed. The least little changing of the waterline ruins speed. It's these fine points. It isn't the gutting it. It's the paying attention to these minor details, listening to the coach, doing what he implores. And then you're apt. If everybody's dedicated and their thoughts are with their job, it's like building a boat. If you go wool gathering building a boat, you're in trouble. And also, this dedication to rowing. I think it's very necessary nowadays to attain some manual art, because with the machines and now the push buttons, we don't get any sense of fulfillment in our work unless it's fine craftsmanship. It's the only way to get a sense of fulfillment, and rowing is fine craftsmanship. That is a good crew. It's no easy task, but it's absolutely paying attention to every detail.
because it's only inches, maybe a couple of inches a stroke will win a race. You see how important it is.
People have said to me many times, well, they say there's a lot of virtues to rowing. What are they? Well, now, sometimes it's pretty hard for an oarsman who's never been in a swinging boat to find out what the virtues are. But if he's a dedicated oarsman, this is what he gets. First of all, he should have harmony. And harmony is self-made. If you want to make a friend, if you want to get rid of your enemy, make him a friend. Harmony. It's one of the fundamental musts in a crew squad. There mustn't be any friction anywhere. If there's a man in the boat you don't like him. Because you'll never win races if there is no harmony. The next virtue that must be had, of course, is balance. Balance. Balance eats up feet. Or unbalance, I should say, eats up feet. Every time that waterline changes, you're stopping the boat. The boat is designed to cleave the water, teardrop, and part it, and go. But every time you roll a little bit, she stops the speed. It costs you a few feet. That's balance. And then the last one is rhythm. If you don't have rhythm in an eight, you have no eight. There's those three, harmony, balance, and rhythm. They're the three things that stay with you your whole life. Without them, civilization is out of whack. And that's why an oarsman, when he goes out in life, he can fight it, he can handle life. And that's what he gets from rowing. Harmony, balance, and rhythm. Mark those words.